Today we are here with Robbie Ingebretsen.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
X-rated.
I was reading wrong.
Yeah, I
remember. Okay.
No problem.
All right. So Robbie is a superstar from, used to be at Microsoft, is now working at IdentityMine, and he is a great person to talk to because he knows about WPF, Silverlight, the designer-developer workflow, all these cool things we can talk about. And first, we just want to welcome Robbie and let him say hello.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm really happy to be on Channel 9. This is cool.
Yeah. So what I mentioned was the thing that I'm really interested in talking about is the more that we get into these rich applications, you know, we have WPF and Silverlight to make really interactive UIs, really, you know, useful, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, I keep hearing more and more of people looking for the designer-developer type hybrid to tie this stuff together. Because you, and that's what WPF is supposed to enable as far as the workflow. But I know that you have a lot of thoughts on that. And that's
yeah, I do actually. So it's something. So even when I was at Microsoft, it was something that I was really starting to think a lot about. Is you know, like workflow. You know, it makes sense. I think a lot of people at Microsoft are thinking about workflow because it's something that is, I think that the XAML technologies, as I call them, really do a good job of, is let developers and designers work together. And so, you know, we were thinking about that when I was at Microsoft. Now that I've started working for IdentityMine, I've gotten to live a lot of that firsthand. And so, to some extent, my thoughts, I wouldn't say they've changed necessarily, but they've been refined a little.
Sure.
And yeah, I definitely have thoughts about this. So maybe I could. In fact, I've been doing this pitch for our clients, as well as I did a talk at the Mix in the UK, and then again in China about workflow.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I could just kind of give you my thoughts on it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. However you want to pitch it.
Yeah. Sure.
That's fine.
Okay. So so basically, I think that XAML brings a lot to the table in terms of what it can do for workflow, and the reason for that is it's sort of a hybrid technology that gives a lot to both developers and designers, right? So XAML gives you the ability to be very expressive if you're a designer. It also has a strong object model. You know, it's structured. It's got, predictable relationships between elements, that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
For developers. And so in that way, you know, kind of brings the best to the table for both developers and designers. What I noticed, though, is that when people started trying to do things the WPF way, an interesting thing happened, which was developers and designers, to some extent, began working in silos rather than, you know, maybe the difficulty of the workflow in the past kind of forced people together. Now, you know, they were excited about the fact that they could, the designers could work on their own and developers could work on their own. In some ways, it was pushing people into silos. And so what we've been doing with our clients is we've been trying to help them, you know, figure out the way to take advantage of the technology, of the XAML technologies, in a way that actually brings them together. And so I've come up with a couple of thoughts about how this works. Okay. The first of these is you still have to start with a really strong concept. So the fact that that XAML or, you know, WPF or Silverlight enables a parallel workflow doesn't get rid of the fact that you still need to get everybody on the same page about what it is that you're building. And so the stronger your concept is going into a project, the more everybody will be empowered and enabled through the process. And so generally, my thought is that the way you get to a concept is, at the very least, you need, well, I mean, at the very least, you need, like, a goal, right? A description document or something. But then beyond that, we generally produce wireframes.
Okay.
Is like a first step. And so wireframes would be where you describe interactions. It's like the very high level, not pretty, just, you know, what is the user experiencing, you know, boxes and arrows,
right,
so to speak. Then from that, generally, before we embark on a project, we'll at least do one or two comps. And this gives us an ability to set the tone for the project.
Right.
Now, one thing that you can do is if you use, like, expression design or even something that's got a strong converter associated with it, like Fireworks, or Illustrator, to build up those comps, then, you know, you can jumpstart the design process because you can export those designs into XAML.
Right.
But we generally, you know, before we kick something off, we'll at least have one or two comps.
Okay.
Okay, so then the next bit is, so developer and designer are both very strong roles in the sense that we have a pretty strong concept of what it is that a developer does, and a pretty strong concept of what it is that a designer does.
Mm-hmm.
And there's and a lot of the tasks that need to happen fall very strongly into those two camps. What we've noticed, though, is that there's a set of tasks that that are maybe boundary tasks, and it's not always clear whose job it is to do those. So,
mm-hmm.
like an example would be layout. You know,
right.
like if you're building the layout for an app, that's something the designer should do. I mean, the designer might draw the layout, but like whose job is it to, you know, like if it's WPF, put that grid, you know, like build the grid, like define the columns,
mm-hmm.
figure out like, you know, is this in pixel values or is it in star values or whatever, you know, like the stretching
right.
behaviors, there's a bunch of stuff there. And it's kind of a technical task. Or another good example, it would be templates.
Mm-hmm.
So like you build a control template, it is, it's very visual in its nature. And so it seems like something a designer should be doing.
Right.
On the other hand, as you and I know
yeah.
probably too well, building
yeah.
templates is kind of hard, and so usually it requires somebody who's kind of technical. So,
uh-huh.
so for these boundary tasks or these things that happen in the middle, the approach that our organization has taken is we've actually defined a job, like a role,
yeah.
around those tasks, and we call that that job an integrator. And so that's what I am at Identity Mine,
okay.
and this, it's not really a new thing. Because other technologies have required this kind of a role. So, you know, like old school HTML guys had an integrator. Frog Design has this role. They call it a design technician. It's like
okay.
this kind of in-between guy. Design tech, I think is what they call
yeah.
it. It's different, though, than, you know, the actual tasks that this person does are different than maybe the tasks that this person has done traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
In that... They tend to be a little bit more fluid, and you know he's more involved, directly involved. Like a lot of times, integration was something that happened after everybody was done, and then you put it together.
Right.
Whereas the integrator generally tends to be like involved day to day, like from day one in the project.
Okay.
So it's not like you know at the end of the project you bring everything together. But regardless of whether or not you have this role in the organization, I think a really helpful thing for workflow is to identify these kinds of tasks,
mm-hmm.
and then know that you know these are sort of the bridge tasks. Like this is where designers and developers need to meet back up, and somebody's got to do them. And so electing somebody in the organization to be in charge of those tasks,
mm-hmm.
whether you call them an integrator or a design technician or a developer, a designer, I mean,
it
doesn't actually matter what you call that person, just that you know somebody's doing it. And that seems to be this like magic thing that when we start talking to people about this and like train somebody in their organization not to do the tasks but just like identify them and like tell them what they are,
mm-hmm.
seems like that gets the wheel moving, you know, and people become really productive in terms of this workflow of, you know, designers all of a sudden are empowered because they know where their job ends, or maybe, you know, developers are empowered because they know where their job ends, and then you know, you've got this middle guy who's actually doing a lot of the bridge work. So, you know, usually that person needs to kind of care about design and also be technical.
So. Yeah. So do you think in our world that we're living in here, mm-hmm. with, like, Microsoft technologies, is this just more pronounced now because of the platform of WPF and then Silverlight, you can do more? Or
well, I mean, no, it's actually... So first of all, it's not a new thing. Like, so if you look at like how other workflows have worked, I think really what's happened is you have kind of a more sophisticated workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's give some examples of other workflows. So like if you look at the way like a traditional development process would work, this is sort of the worst case scenario where designers are totally uninvolved,
mm-hmm.
In the actual production. So rather what they're doing is they're building out comps and then handing them to a developer. And then a developer does everything end-to-end when it comes time for production.
Mm-hmm.
So in that role, you don't need any kind of an integrator because the designer's just done. Like, he's just handing stuff off. So
right.
the developer does all the work.
Yeah.
You know, might get it wrong, too. And that's
right.
going to be a problem. And then on the other side, you know, a lot of technologies, so like Flash or, you know, a lot of the more, I'd say, user-focused technologies or rather experience-focused technologies,
yeah.
Generally those were driven by somebody who is by his nature an integrator, but it was one person. So
right.
a lot of times like you would have like a guy who's both a designer and a developer just doing the whole project end-to-end, and it was hard to separate out like design tasks and development tasks.
Right.
So, you know, some of these newer technologies, and a lot of, especially the XML-based technologies, so like XAML, some extent Flex,
mm-hmm.
Allow you to separate out what a developer and a designer does. The thing that is new, though, is that there's still this set of tasks that are both technical and creative at the same time. And mm-hmm. so now you need to figure out a way to do those. Now, one thing I'll say, though, is that Blend, I think, you know, if you begin working with Blend and expect it to be a design tool, or if you expect it to be a development tool, you know, if you bring that baggage to it, so to speak, you might be disappointed with the tool, because it's not going to do either one of those, you know, as well as, say, you know, your typical creative tools or your typical development tools.
Right.
But if you come to it with an expectation that it is kind of this, you know, standout product in the sense that it's doing, it's filling the need for the, of this new role, this these tasks that are technical and also creative,
mm-hmm.
it's like this amazing tool, and it really lets you kind of combine like the technical world with the creative world. And so mm-hmm. and so in that way, I'd say that that you know, the XAML technology is kind of empower, I guess, this middle role as well. And so I think, you know, in that way, whether or not you have the person, like, understanding that there's a set of things that need to happen gives you a step forward in understanding the workflow. And I think Microsoft's done a great job addressing that with Blend. I think it's, mm-hmm. it's a really exciting tool for that reason.
Okay. Yeah, I think just, I mean, to me, I haven't heard so many people talk about it, and it's exciting for me because I'm kind of the designer-developer type, and it's funny that you mentioned that with Flash. That's what I was doing. I was coding and designing applications. But I think that, yeah, it's like the type of applications that people are expecting. I mean, even when we started here, getting into Ajax and kind of that, just a richer interactive page. It doesn't just, you know, clean swipe of refreshing the page and everything.
Right.
Even that was like, you know, just thinking through the steps of, well, now this part is updating, but this isn't. And I think, I think it just, it's becoming more and more focused. But
yeah, well, and it is, you know, I think it's, hopefully in the future, in future versions of Blend, as Blend, you know, I think they've done a great job in for a V1, like an outstanding job. As it matures, hopefully it will be able to give, you know, the,